Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you join with us on Let's Face the Issues. Looking forward to a lively dialogue and discussion today. We're talking about the proofs of the resurrection. We're looking at Resurrection Sunday, what happened on that day some 2,000 plus years ago. Jesus Christ arose. There's an old song, up from the grave he arose. He arose, having victory over his foes. He arose, he arose. Hallelujah. Christ arose. The celebration of resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ should bring joy and hope and peace and encouragement to everyone that said yes to Jesus Christ as Savior and his Lord. We'll be talking about that today. Perhaps you've got questions about the resurrection. Perhaps you've been told that Jesus did not physically, literally rise from the grave. Perhaps you have been told some other theories. We'll talk about some of those theories today, if time allows us to do so. We're looking forward to your dialogue and discussion on it. That telephone number is 904-831-0917, 831-0917. Your telephone call goes directly through to the studios, right to our microphone so that we can entertain your question, comments, dialogue, and discussion on the issue we're speaking about today, perhaps one of the most profound, most serious, most important doctrine in all the Bible. You know, the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ is wonderful. The birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, when Jesus came into the world, we celebrate as Christmas. But ladies and gentlemen, perhaps the greatest celebration is the celebration of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, I'm looking at an article. Individual writer said the birth of Jesus was wonderful, but his resurrection is even more exciting. It is the finale, great finale of the Christian story. Jesus accomplished what he came to do. Jesus' last words before dying on the cross were documented in John 19:30, where he said, "It is finished." And ladies and gentlemen, the work of salvation is complete in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. When you study 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the first three or four verses, it gives us the gospel. What is the gospel of Jesus Christ? It's the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the gospel. So without the resurrection, the gospel of Jesus Christ is not complete. It is not a full gospel. So we'll be talking about that and answering your questions. Perhaps you have been questioning the resurrection. Perhaps you've been caused to doubt that. Perhaps you're in a church where the resurrection is not taught as being important. Love to hear from you with your questions or your comments in relationship to that on this broadcast today. Let me remind you, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority, the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. I call it the truth book. John 8:31 and 32, as the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking to his disciples, he says, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." Then in John 14:6, Jesus says, "I am truth." And further in John 17:17, the Lord Jesus says, "Thy word is truth." Ladies and gentlemen, the truth of the Lord endures forever, according to Psalms 117 and verse 2. But we're in a society today where if it is doctrinal, theological truths, or something about political, or societal, or economic issues, many will reject truth. Truth is disdained. It is looked down upon. It is despised in the society in which we're living. It brings to the forefront what George Orwell the Secular said in his dystopian novel entitled 1984, where Orwell said the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And we see that to be truthful today. In fact, it was the former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint that warns America's decline is linked to the death of truth. Jim DeMint made this statement, and I think it's fitting today. Truth is the core principle of the Judeo-Christian values, which are the foundation of Western civilization. Judeo-Christian values are derived from the Bible, and the Christian church is the only custodian of the Bible. If you want to know the reason for the death of truth in America, look no further than the decline of Bible-based Christianity in our nation, end quote. And ladies and gentlemen, I think it is apropos in the discussion about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. But we find those today that are denying the truth, rejecting the truth. I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus made a statement that is profound. He says, faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth, even to death. And I believe that ought to be a challenge to each of us, even today. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of homeowner brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the full line of Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about the power backup equipment. Tools for Time's knowledgeable staff can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291. That's 11291. Old St. Augustine Road, right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. There's a benchmark, identifiable, miles away. 165-foot flagpole with Old Glory, the U.S. flag flowing 24/7. Find that flag in the flagpole, in the base of the flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. But wait, 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 there's some good news. Tools for Time is now hiring all positions. House and grounds maintenance, mechanics and technicians, inside and outside sales, customer service representatives, and much, much more. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time is a great place to work. It's a family-friendly oriented environment that you're working in. Tools for Time is closed on Sunday, allowing the entire staff of Tools for Time to worship in the house of God with the family of God, as God's word ordained it to be so. Drop by Tools for Time, make an application for employment, wait for an interview, see what God does, placing you in the family of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you again that telephone is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. Your telephone call will go directly to the studios, right to our microphones, to allow us to have the conversation today about the resurrection, the proofs of the bodily resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Most Christians know that hymn. We touched on it a little earlier. It's a song that I look forward to hearing and to being able to participate in singing each and every time we celebrate the Easter season, the Resurrection Sunday. By the way, let me at this juncture just simply drop this little invitation in. If you're not busy or involved in your local New Testament church, let me invite you to worship with us this Resurrection Sunday. Let me invite you to join us at be at 10 o'clock this Sunday morning. The worship service normally starts at 10:45. This Sunday, worship starts at 10 o'clock. We'll have a finger food brief breakfast at 8:30. You're invited. At 9:30, there will be the Bible study for the what we call the Sunday school class, the Bible study class for the men and the ladies and other age groups. And at 10 o'clock, ladies and gentlemen, we'll have the morning worship service. We'll be preaching a message on Sunday morning, the Savior of the Cross. It is the resurrection message, Following the resurrection message, we and our congregation will participate in the celebration of the observance of the Lord's Supper. You realize it was on the last Passover meal that Jesus had with his disciples where the Lord's Supper was inaugurated. It was instituted. The Lord's Supper was set up by the Lord Jesus Christ in his last Passover celebration with his disciples. We'll have that celebration on Resurrection Sunday. So let me invite you. That's worship at 10 o'clock. If you get here at 10:45 for the regular time, you'll miss most of the message at 10 o'clock. So let me invite you to join us for that. You can join us for the Bible study prior to that. We'd love to have you as our special guest this Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, Easter Sunday celebration, and we look forward to having you with us. But as we celebrate this resurrection, let us understand, most Christians know this song, and I'm not going to try to break out in singing. I couldn't carry a note if I had to. I get static on radio, as the old cliche goes. But that old song says, he arose, hallelujah, Christ arose. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, we celebrate Jesus' resurrection, and we're reminded that Jesus resurrected. And because of his resurrection, it's the guarantee, it's the down payment, it's the assurance that we will rise again. Ladies and gentlemen, the resurrection celebration should be a joy, an encouragement, and a hope to every child of God in the realization that death is not the end. Death is simply the doorway to eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ. That celebration of Resurrection Sunday, ladies and gentlemen, should bring about that assurance and that hope and that joy in the relation, that relationship, and the realization that physical death is only that doorway that opens into our stepping from the shores of time to the shores of eternity in that place called heaven with the Lord Jesus Christ. Multitudes today, however, ladies and gentlemen, deny or debate or refuse the reality of the bodily resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. You may recall that in Jesus' day, it was the Sadducees that denied the resurrection. Matthew 22:23 says, the same day came to him, that is to Jesus, the Sadducees, which say that there is no resurrection. That's a little cliche that's been around for many, many years in Christian circles. The Sadducees denied the resurrection, so they were sad, you see. It is amazing that the Sadducees of Jesus' day are alive and well in the current day in which we're living in. There are multitudes today that are skeptics, agnostics, mythologists that have sought to explain away or just out and out simply deny the bodily resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, according to a, not too long ago, it's been a couple of years ago, a poll published by Scripps Howard and the Ohio University, they point out the very sad findings. Let me just read you very briefly the summary of that survey, that poll that was taken. This poll says, the majority of Americans no longer believe in the resurrection of the body. That is, most Americans do not believe that they will experience a bodily resurrection after they die. This, however, ladies and gentlemen, is at odds with the biblical Christianity, with the thoughts, the ideas, the facts, and the narrative of biblical Christianity as verified in our Bible today. Ladies and gentlemen, the Bible warns of the dangers of disbelief or rejection of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, it's an impossibility to be saved lest you embrace and believe the resurrection of Jesus. Romans 10:9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. I believe we have Kenneth on the line. Kenneth, go with the questions or comments, please. We lost Kenneth. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the proofs of the resurrection. I'm holding in my hand a book that I very familiar with. I had the privilege of researching, writing, authoring the book, and publishing it just a few years ago. In fact, it was in, I believe, about 2017, when this was published. Let me look at the publishing date and then I can give you the exactness on that. But it's entitled The Proofs of the Resurrection. It was later than that. It was 2021. I thought it was further back. 2021, The Proofs of the Resurrection, 105 pages. The Proofs of the Resurrection. And on the back of the book, I state this. There are many theories today that want to disbelieve and deny the resurrection of Jesus. One is called the swoon theory. the wrong tomb theory, the hallucination theory, the stolen body theory, the substitution theory, the temporary tomb theory, and the legend theory. But ladies and gentlemen, this is a very serious subject that we're talking about today. And I don't know what you've been taught about the resurrection. Don't know your position. And by the way, this book is available. You can dial 1-800-GO-BIBLE and ask the leave your information for someone to call back, or ask the lady to ship this book to you. It's not but $15.99 plus the shipping. You'd have about $20 plus in the book. But I believe it's worth that because it is the documentation, verse by verse, word for word of the scripture, of the proofs of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'd love to see that book in your hand. So if you dial that number, 1-800-GO-BIBLE, 1-800-GO-BIBLE, and ask us to ship that to you. It's $15.99 plus the shipping cost on it. We'd love to have it in your hands today. I believe Kenneth is on the line. Kenneth, go over the question or comment, please.
Yes, sir, Dr. Youngblood. I'm sorry I lost you the first time.
That's all right. Go ahead and read the question.
Okay. Really, I looked up Easter, and this is for the goddess Easter, when they have the eggs. Fertility, should I say it like that? Eggs and the bunny rabbits. But it's really Passover, right?
Well, eggs and the bunny rabbit have nothing to do with Easter. I've always been amazed at how we have so denigrated the truth of the doctrine of the resurrection that you have it promoted on television, radio, and by many churches where they have Easter egg hunts and to give away the little bunny rabbits, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. That is paganism at the very highest. It is Resurrection Sunday. And that's okay if you still call it Easter. That's what Christians have historically known it as. But going back to the roots of that, we need to understand that we're talking about Resurrection Sunday. That's the reason we worship on Sunday. That's Resurrection Sunday. It's called the Lord's Day. It is not talking about Sabbath. That's on the seventh. That's on the seventh day. We're worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ on Sunday, the Lord's Day, because He arose on Sunday. It is the Lord's Day. It's Resurrection Sunday that we deal with, and that is so true. And when you talk about the Passover, it's not. We don't celebrate the Passover. The Jewish people still celebrate the Passover, but it was in the last Passover celebration with the Lord Jesus Christ and His disciples that the inauguration, the institution, the setup of the Lord's Supper was done. It took place in and with and during the last Passover with the Lord Jesus Christ and His disciples. That is the reason we celebrate the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper is going back and looking at His broken body and His shed blood for the remission of our sins, that we might be saved. It's a good illustration, a good picture of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ as found in the celebration and the observance of the Lord's Supper. So, Kenneth, I'm thankful that you called. I'm thankful that you have the right handle on what Easter or Christmas or the celebration Resurrection Sunday is about. And so we pray that you will be celebrating Resurrection Sunday with your family and the praise and adoration for the Lord Jesus Christ and His willingness to come, shed His rich red royal blood on Calvary's cross, and to be buried on the third day He rose again. And by the way, He did say that He would rise again. We'll talk about that. There's some theorists today that say that Jesus never said that He'd rise again. I beg your pardon. They're verse after verse after verse after verse in the Word of God where Jesus says, I'll rise again, where He says, I'm going to get up out of the grave, if you will, and come forth once again. So may you have a blessed Resurrection Sunday. Kenneth, and thank you so much for your call today. Thank you. God bless you. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ. In fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 12 through 19, ladies and gentlemen, it is a wonderful, wonderful recognition of what happened at for the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ and where we stand based on the resurrection. Were it not for the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, there'd be five things that I want to simply go back to the scripture and outline for your thinking today. Five things. If the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ did not take place, if Jesus had not risen from the tomb, if Jesus had not walked out of that grave, ladies and gentlemen, The scripture says in 1 Corinthians 15:14, that if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain. The word vain means empty, vacuous, void, worthless, having no effect. So first of all, if Jesus Christ did not resurrect from the tomb, if Jesus did not walk out of that grave bodily, if it were simply a phantom, as some denominations, some religious cults teach today, that it was just a phantom, it was not the real body that came out of that tomb. Ladies and gentlemen, if that's true, if the resurrection of Christ did not take place, the Bible says our preaching is in vain. That is, every Christian church on Sunday, when the pastor stands and preaches the gospel, it is worthless, it is vacuous, it is vain, it is void, it is empty, and it has no cause or effect if Jesus Christ has not risen. Secondly, not only our preaching would be in vain, according to 1 Corinthians 15, verse 14 and following. By the way, the unit of thought is 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 12 through about verse 20-21, ends on the right page, the left column in my Bible. It is a fantastic study. So if you're not driving, pick up your Bible, open it to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Follow with me as we cover some of these points on this broadcast today, as we're talking about the proofs of the resurrection, the bodily resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only would our preaching be in vain, but our faith is in vain. 1 Corinthians 15:14 also says, and our faith is also vain, vacuous, void, empty. Faith in Jesus Christ has no value unless Jesus has risen from the grave. What power has a dead body in the grave if it remains there? Jesus Christ died. He was buried. The third day he rose. We sing that song, up from the grave he arose. He arose on the victory service on Resurrection Sundays. So, ladies and gentlemen, our preaching is in vain and our faith is in vain. What do we have faith in? What is the faith for? If our faith is in a dead person that didn't arise from the tomb, that is what differentiates and separates Jesus Christ from all other renowned figures. Buddha died and he's still dead. Confucius died and he's dead. Muhammad died and he's still in the grave. But up from the grave, Christ arose. He arose having victory over his foes. May I say to you, according to 1 Corinthians 15, verse 12 through 19 in particular, if Jesus Christ did not rise from the tomb, our preaching is in vain. Our faith is in vain. And the scripture says in 1 Corinthians 15:17, and if Christ be not risen, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Ladies and gentlemen, if Christ is not risen, our preaching is in vain, our faith is in vain, and we're still in our sins. In other words, if Christ has not risen, there's no remission for our sin. If Christ is not risen, he's still dead and in the tomb. If Christ is not risen, there's no payment for our sin. We're still in our sin. If Jesus Christ did not rise from the grave, there's no redemption, there's no salvation. We're without salvation, without hope, and without help. I pray that you understand that. I pray that you recognize the value of the correct understanding with having a right view on the biblical doctrine of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. There are multitudes today that have all kinds of theories and thoughts, all kinds of reasons to try to reject the truth of the resurrection. But I'm here to tell you, the Bible is replete with the story, with the biblical record of the resurrection of Christ. Fourthly, ladies and gentlemen, if I can use that term, number four, fourthly, if Jesus Christ is not risen from the grave, we are false witnesses, false witnesses. 1 Corinthians 15:15 says, yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ. In other words, ladies and gentlemen, if Jesus Christ did not truly resurrect from the tomb, if Jesus Christ is still in the grave, as some cult teachings tell us, if he's still in the grave, and yet we stand and preach, we as Christians, we as pastors, we proclaim the truth of the gospel is not complete. Remember, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1, 2, and 3 is very clear. The gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. So if we do not realize and recognize and embrace the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are false witnesses to proclaim what we call the gospel. The gospel is not the gospel, lest it also includes the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, I have used a four-point aspect of the gospel: the death, the burial, the resurrection, and I add, and I'm not adding to the scripture, and the soon coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Those are the four major elements of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You take any one of those elements out, and you've lost the truth of the gospel. You take any one of those elements out, no longer do you have the real gospel. You have a false gospel, a false teaching that is absolutely defective because it denies the truth of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And number five, the fifth thing that I want to call to our attention, if Jesus Christ did not rise from the grave, number five, we have died without hope. 1 Corinthians 15, 18 says, then they also which are fallen asleep, that is died in Christ, are perished, that is dead, without hope. The hope that we have is in the resurrected Christ. The resurrected Christ. Our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ and his righteousness. And ladies and gentlemen, if Jesus Christ died and is still in the tomb, if Jesus Christ died and did not resurrect from the grave, if Jesus Christ died and is still dead, ladies and gentlemen, we have a dead hope. We have a dead faith. Our preaching is in vain. Our faith is in vain. We're still in our sins. There's no remission for sins. There's no salvation, and there's no hope. We are false witnesses. And I'm here to tell you, I believe it's time Christians embrace the full truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let me just tuck this little thought in. Stop depending on internet garbage. Why did I say that? Everybody's got a little tidbit of what they believe is truth. And I have always had angst with those preachers, theologians, that will want to make me to believe something is factual and true by quoting many, many of the church fathers, many of the church historians, and what this person said and that person. Why not go back to the scripture? The Bible interprets the Bible. You can take the scripture, and if somebody says, well, Jesus didn't say he was going to be resurrected, look at what the scripture says. Show me that where he didn't say that, where he denied his resurrection in the scripture. Show me a place in the scripture where it denies the physical bodily resurrection in the scripture. Ladies and gentlemen, even before the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, resurrection is found in the scripture. Examples of that resurrection. Elijah raised a little boy in 1 Kings. Jesus raises Lazarus. Jesus raises the son of the widow of Nain. The future resurrections are found in Revelation chapter 11. The two witnesses are raised and live for 3.5 days. They're dead for 3.5 days, and they're raised again. At Jesus' crucifixion, the scripture says many dead bodies came up out of the graves. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the proofs of the resurrection. We're going to get into more depth in relationship to that proof, or those proofs, in this study of the proofs of the resurrection today. I pray that it's a challenge to you. I pray that it's a blessing for you. I pray that it's words of encouragement for you today. R.A. Torrey of yesteryear said, the doctrine of the resurrection of Jesus Christ is central in the Christian faith, not peripheral. To deny the resurrection is to remove the keystone of the arch of Christianity, end quote. So, ladies and gentlemen, what do you know about the resurrection? What do you believe about the resurrection? We find, ladies and gentlemen, the resurrection is biblical, it's factual, and it's the doctrine that we need to embrace. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take about a 1 minute top of the hour news break. Hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back right after the news.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida.